This word precious, it means something of great value. It's not to be treated carelessly. It's not to be wasted away. It is to be treasured. And this is what the apostle is saying here, the apostle Peter, to those who believe in Christ. Christ himself is of great value. Christ himself and Christ and his salvation is most precious to them. And they are those who believe in Christ, who belong to Christ, who believe that the Savior is the one that he says he is, the Messiah.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we consider the Word of God and His precious, infallible truth. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the second part of a sermon entitled The Preciousness of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious to the believer. He's precious in His great love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He is precious to us in the great care that He shows toward you and I. He is precious to us because He is the great King and head of His church. He is precious to us because He has bought His people with His precious shed blood. Oh, today, do you believe in Christ? Do you know Him? Is the Lord Jesus precious to you and to your soul?
We have a precious prophet. We have a precious priest. We have a precious king. Christ executes the office of a king in calling out of the world a people to himself and giving them officers, laws, and censures by which he visibly governs them and bestowing saving grace upon his elect, rewarding their obedience, correcting them for their sins, preserving and supporting them under all their temptations and sufferings, restraining and overcoming all their enemies, and powerfully ordering all things for his own glory and their good, and also in taking vengeance on the rest who know not God and obey not the gospel. And so Christ is King. He rules us. He gives us officers. He gives us those who are in oversight over us. He corrects us for our sins. He supports us in our temptations and sufferings. He restrains our enemies. He governs us for His glory and for our good. He is the one who will judge those who know not God and obey not the gospel. He is the great King of His people. And because He is our King, He is precious to us in all that He does. We might not think of this today. If I said to you, is your King, King Charles III, precious to you? I'm not so sure what a Canadian might say, because the King is a little removed. If you go to Northern Ireland and you say, was the Queen or is the King precious to you? There'd be a certain percentage of the population who would undoubtedly affirm that statement, and a certain percentage of the population who wouldn't be too happy at you asking them that question because of their political views. Nowadays, in modern times, we may not perhaps view those in authority, view those who have that position in monarchy as being precious. But if you go back over the years and back in history, it was the king who led. It was the king who protected his people. It was the king who had his armies. And when the enemy came to invade, it was the king who went out and the king's army who went out to defend the people. When Saul, or when Goliath stood against Israel, who was there in the camp with the armies of Israel? It was Saul, the king. And Christ the King governs us. Christ the King protects us. Christ the King conquers our enemies. Christ the King will take us home to be with Him for all eternity. And dear believer, that is something that is precious. When we think of all that Christ has done for us, it is a precious work. He is precious in His work of salvation. How He has justified us. How He has redeemed us. How He has made that propitiation, that covering for our sins. The implication is that if Christ did not die for us, if Christ was not born, if He did not live, if He was not the perfect Son of God, there would be no salvation for us. He is the only Redeemer of God's elect. And He did everything that had to be done. He came and He died for His people. There upon the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." The work of Christ is a finished work. That is why He is precious to us. He gave His life for us. And He completed a work that we could never even come close to undertaking. He sanctifies us through His Spirit. He leads us and guides us. Andrew Gray said that all the enjoyments that a Christian encounters are streams of sweetness that flow from God's ocean and fountain of everlasting pleasure. Do not all these enjoyments preach the preciousness of Christ, His sanctification, His adoption, every aspect of our lives? If you want to know the ins and outs of those terms, well, there's a dictionary by Dr. Kearns that will be available someday in the future to explain those terms. But the wonderful term, sanctified, where we turn from sin, we repent daily of our sin, we're adopted into the family of God, we're no longer strangers, we're no longer rebels, but part of the family of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And here we have Moses. And we find that in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So Christ was greater and esteemed to be greater than all the riches in Egypt. But it's not all the wonders of Christ that we are talking about here. It's not all these blessed things of Him being our prophet, our priest, our king that we are thinking of. It is not merely His salvation that we are thinking of. It says here, the reproach of Christ. Men that look down upon Him, men that mock Him, men that scorn Him. The reproach of Christ, that negative thing, was esteemed by Moses to be greater than all the treasures in this world. What a wonderful thing that is, our Savior. And His reproach was esteemed to be greater than all of this world's treasures. Dear believer, when we think of our text, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." Is Christ precious to you? When you think of the reproach of Christ, is that reproach greater than anything this world could offer? If you were to go into the workplace and stand up and say that I've trusted Christ, that I'm a Christian, that I love my Savior with all my heart, for He died for me, then you pause to face the reproach. Is that reproach esteemed by you far greater than all the treasures that this world has to offer? The most precious thing in this world is our Savior. The most precious thing is His gospel, His work, what He has done for us. Men labor in this world. Men have all sorts of dreams and ambitions. Dreams and ambitions that are cut off, that suddenly end. Because life is so frail and life is so short. But yet Christ in his preciousness lasts for all eternity. It lasts for all eternity. If you came to me and said, even thinking of the young people, if you came to me and said, I found a treasure map, would you like to come with me and we'll go and find the buried treasure? I'm not sure if there are any pirates in this part of the world or not, but you found a treasure map. And we went out and we walked up mountains and hills and we got a boat and went across to the islands and eventually we come to X marks the spot and you get out your shovel and we have spent days and we've suffered and our bodies are in pain and we've really, really put ourselves to the limits of our ability to get to that point and we dig up that treasure. And we open it. And you're thinking there's gold coins, whatever there, and it's an empty box. And you've dragged me away and nearly worn me out all for an empty box. All that effort for nothing. And when we think of our Savior, when we think of what He has done for us, and when we think of what we do in this world, whatever we do at the end of our lives, when we come to that point and we think of everything that we have ever accomplished, compared to Christ, it's just an empty box. There's nothing there. Nothing there. He is the one who fills it. He is the one who has that great value and that great preciousness. Dear young people, unbeliever tonight, what about you and your soul? Christ is the greatest treasure that you could ever have in this world, knowing His salvation. Oh, that you would make sure of it. We see, secondly, an experienced preciousness. An experienced preciousness. Peter speaks here of an experience. Something that has been experienced by him. Something that is the experience of the people of God. And our experience is to be built upon the infinite worth of Christ. He means something to us. In this statement, this text, there is something here that ought to speak of your own experience of Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, Peter is saying, to you who are the people of God, to you who believe on Christ and trust in Christ and profess Christ as Savior, He is precious to you. And this is seen in history. The saints of God from every age enjoyed the blessings of salvation. They enjoyed the Lord's salvation. They enjoyed Christ, the only truly precious thing in this world. We can think of the reformers. We can think of those who gave their lives for the gospel of Christ. Christ was precious to them. And that experience of Christ, I can look back on my own life and rejoice in His salvation and rejoice in His leading and guiding and help, and no doubt you can as well. That experience is through faith in Christ. Peter is speaking here, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. He's speaking to those who have faith, those who believe in Christ, those who've turned from sin. Faith makes Christ precious to the soul, for we turn and we believe in faith. Faith will keep Christ precious. Faith is not blind. The Messiah here is called a stone. The Savior, the chief cornerstone. And stones meant much to the Jews in regard to their temple. They had magnificent stones placed around the Temple Mount, around the temple complex. Stones that lasted through time. Stones that have strength. If you go to Jerusalem today, and you walk around that area where the temple was, there were stones that had been placed there. They didn't call in the big crane company to come and lift those stones. They were placed there centuries and centuries and centuries ago. Some dating back from the times of Scripture as well. Great stones. I stood beside those stones, and those stones are pretty big. Higher than me. Wider than me, and though I was there 19 years ago, even if I went there today, it would still be pretty wide. Stones that you couldn't move with your hands. Stones that formed this great wall of the temple and all of that surrounding area. And Peter is saying, Christ is such a stone. He's an important stone, a chief cornerstone. And our faith is built then upon Him who is this chief stone. Our faith is founded upon Him, and those that believe on Him, Peter says, will not be confounded. Tonight, is your faith built upon that which it needs to be built upon? The rock of Christ, the cornerstone. O believer, are you sure tonight that you're truly resting upon the rock of Christ? That you know that your soul is built upon Him? That you're not building upon the ideas or the sand of your own thoughts, your own thinking, but you're building upon Christ. You're building upon His salvation. You're building upon Him as the chief cornerstone, and therefore you agree with Peter, and you can say, yes, I know He's precious. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's the one upon whom I am building. He is our precious Savior. My precious Redeemer. Oh, our experience is to be built upon Christ. Tonight, are you built on Him, or are you built upon the sin of this world? Built upon lusts and temptations? Are you built upon a gospel that is false? Resting your soul and resting your eternity upon a gospel that is not a gospel, because it is not focused upon Christ and upon Christ alone. We are also to appreciate Christ, to love Christ, to live for Christ. If Christ is precious to you, then your experience of Him will be that you will not blush to speak His name, that you will not be ashamed to declare His gospel, that you will not be ashamed to live for Him. Because upon the cross of Calvary, He was not ashamed to die for you. He was not ashamed to bear not His sin, but your sin. There He was made sin for us. He was made sin for you. That you might experience His preciousness through the power of His gospel. Oh, that you would turn from sin this night. That you would flee to Christ. You would see Him. You would understand even what young Spurgeon was pointing out. That His Savior, though He was young in the faith, though He was a young man, that He knew His Savior was precious. He would never part with Him. He'd never buy the truth and sell it not. He would live for Him. Thirdly, I want you to see it is an effective preciousness. An effective preciousness. If Christ is precious, then He affects our lives. If we truly value our Savior, and if this is our cry, that He is precious to us, then there will be an effect upon that within our lives. If you had a possession that was precious to you, maybe precious in the eyes of this world, it would affect you. You might keep it in a safe. You might put it on display. You might take good care of it. If it was something that could easily be knocked over or broken, you might put it behind glass. Keep it safe. Our attitude toward the precious things in our lives, we see and experience that perhaps every day. And when we come to our Savior, the one who is precious, we are to desire to bear His image. We're to desire to live after Him, to strive after holiness. And we find that in this portion in 1 Timothy 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. What is Timothy saying, or Peter saying? There is to be holiness. Those who see Christ as precious to them, they're to flee sin. They're to strive after holiness. They're to live in light of the Word of God and desire the milk of the Word that they would grow. malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. All these things are to be set aside by the people of God. We should not be a people who are marked by these sins. We're not to be those who, when our name comes up in conversation with other believers, they immediately think of the malice and the guile and the hypocrisies and the envies and the evil speakings that come out of our mouths. It is to be the opposite. He, she is a believer who desires the sincere milk of the Word of God. That's the difference. And if we truly see Christ as precious, we will desire to live for Him, to bear His image. We'll desire to have fellowship with the Lord, to commune with Him, to come to His house, to serve Him, to pray to Him, to desire His presence day by day. We struggle with the temptations of sin. We struggle to stand against the devil and his temptations. But oh, if we truly see Christ as precious, we'll desire Him day by day to help us. When we offend or grieve the Savior, there'll be despair. We'll be grieved at what we've done. We'll be grieved when we fall into sin. We'll have a delight within our hearts for serving Christ. Is that not seen in Spurgeon? He delighted in serving the Lord. He delighted in proclaiming the gospel because Christ was precious. Christ was precious. If Christ is precious to you, dear believer, will you not declare Him? Will you not preach Him? Will you not set forth Him in your life? No effort would be too great for the Master. Oh, in life, we can procrastinate. We can put things off. We can perhaps be lazy. We perhaps don't value doing certain things. We think we can put it off and do it later. But if we truly delight in Christ, we won't have that attitude to anything associated with Him. If Christ is truly precious to us, then nothing will be too great for us. We'll go forward with hearts that are aright, hearts that love the Savior. Does the preciousness of Christ motivate you to serve Him, to pray to Him, to read His Word? Does the preciousness of your Savior influence your life for Him, as it did Peter? Peter was taken up with the Savior. He loved the Savior. He died for Christ. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Dear believer, as we close tonight, dear unbeliever, what think ye of Christ? What's your attitude toward the Savior? Is it that great apostolic attitude that Peter had, that the early church had, that Christ is precious? Oh, that you would rejoice in Him. You'd rejoice in your salvation. You would make peace with God through Christ and know and understand and experience and have those great effects within your heart of Christ being precious to you and to your soul. May the Lord bless His Word tonight. For His name's sake. Amen.
Today's Spurgeon devotional comes from Psalm 30, verse 6. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Moab settled on his lees, he hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Give a man wealth, let his ships bring home continually rich freights. Let the winds and waves appear to be his servants to bear his vessels across the bosom of the mighty deep. Let his lands yield abundantly, let the weather be propitious to his crops. Let uninterrupted success attend him. Let him stand among men as a successful merchant. Let him enjoy continued health. Allow him with braced nerve and brilliant eye to march through the world and live happily. Give him the buoyant spirit. Let him have the song perpetually on his lips. Let his eye be ever sparkling with joy. And the natural consequence of such an easy state to any man, let him be the best Christian who ever breathed, will be presumption. Even David said, I shall never be moved. And we are not better than David, nor half so good. Brother, beware of the smooth places of the way. If you are treading them, or the way be rough, thank God for it. If God should always rock us in the cradle of prosperity, if we were always dandled on the knees of fortune, if we had not some stain on the alabaster pillar, if there were not a few clouds in the sky, if we had not some bitter drops in the wine of this life, we should become intoxicated with pleasure. We should dream we stand, and stand we should, but it would be upon a pinnacle, like the man asleep upon the mast. Each moment we should be in jeopardy. We bless God then for our afflictions. We thank him for our changes. We extol his name for losses of property, for we feel that had he not chastened us thus, we might have become too secure. Continued worldly prosperity is a fiery trial. Afflictions, though they seem severe, in mercy oft are sent. We thank you for listening to our program today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. I shall never be moved. We praise God that the one who repents from sin and trusts in Christ as Savior is one who shall never be moved of the rock of Jesus Christ. Is that you today? Can you say that, yes, my soul is firmly fixed upon the rock Christ Jesus, and I know whatever happens in this life, no man can pluck me from the Father's hand. My salvation is secure. I shall not be moved. That is the confidence that you and I can have as we rest our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. Thank you for listening, and join us again on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.